Chris, Felger, and Mass.
Yeah, Rex Ryan here.
I hate guests.
Yep.
There's no reason to touch them.
Keep it in your pants.
Why would you do that? Felger and Mass, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Felger and Mass out today, so you have Gasper and Murray, normally heard on Saturday mornings here on 98.5, The Sports Hub. Of course, we're simulcast on NBC Sports Boston. So you got us, Christian Arcan, in my normal spot, filling in on the Hub headlines, chiming in as well, and you at 617-779-0985. You got a thought right off the top here, Chris?
I was just going to say, as they're showing this picture of Mass, this is a much better-looking show than person. The TV people... it's a much better looking show than it usually is. I think the TV people are getting their money's worth today.
Oh, well.
Don't you think so?
Look who's feeling confident. I don't know. I don't know if this shirt
I think
is
Arcan
really,
really bumps it up.
What are you doing that stupid trickery crap for?
Yeah, the trickery of us trying to like gussy up the show with our looks. Yeah, these. I work in radio for a reason, Chris. I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, this.
I know, man. Where do you think people. I blanked.
Yeah, so. It's okay, Matt. No, it's all right.
You guys take your handsome pills this morning? I took mine.
No, I actually shaved, though, so that's something I normally don't do.
I just say, this is like the most dressed up I've ever... I mean, normally you come in here like... when I only see you on Saturday, so you're basically like in pajamas and...
Yes, I literally come here in what I slept
like
in on
slippers
a Saturday morning.
And, yes. You're,
slippers, yep. Smell like a bum. But, yeah, I was taking crap from Zoe and Beetle when I started the show today, too.
That's
because
a nice
I actually
shirt.
Have a button-up shirt on with my yoga clothes on underneath.
Wait, Zoe was giving you crap?
Yes, he was.
That's interesting.
You wear a yoga pants?
No, I just go with shorts.
Okay.
I go with shorts. I can't go with the full pants.
The Lululemons?
No, I don't have that kind of money.
That's a Mr. Sid caliber shirt right
it
there.
It is. Yes, this was. This
very
was
nice.
Not
very
cheap.
Nice.
All right, so right to you. A lot on the table here. All these
bore
Celtics.
My listeners to death.
I know. I'm sorry, Felger. Yeah, if he's listening on the island. Enough grab ass. Get to the sports. I know. And there's been a
Mike,
lot.
Mike, shut up!
Right.
Don't let him be in your head.
Celtics injuries. We have the Patriots, the offseason. If you just heard there, Kristen Arcan's update at the top of
Genta.
The hour. Sounds like every single team in the NFL is doing something. Except for you. That doesn't feel good.
Danny Shelton.
Oh, that's right. Danny Shelton. We did get Danny Shelton. Of course, we
Cesario
have...
Cesario did that deal.
The Brandon's back as well. Brandon King, Brandon Brown. Are
get
very
that big
exciting.
Run stuffer in there. That's what they need.
So, Kevin in the car. What do you think of the Patriots offseason so far?
Hey, and how you doing?
Go ahead.
I just didn't want to get destroyed since Felger and Maz are here, but I still have a feeling that Belichick might save some faith and get Butler back from making him cry, you know, during the Super Bowl. Think that's just insanity?
What, you think that he would bring him back?
Bring him back just to save faith and say that,
no.
You know... I was expecting to get you know hung up on, but is this crazy?
No, Kevin.
Without any moves, or is there a chance that I don't know.
Kevin, if there was anything that was going to be any kind of like still screwing with Malcolm Butler, and thanks for the call. I mean, Mike brought it up at the time. You know, when they the franchise tag
that they would
have tagged him just to screw with him and then try to trade him from there.
Well, what you do is you tag him and you wait till everybody else signs in free agency and then you rescind the tag.
Oh, that would have been brutal.
Yeah.
So obviously that didn't happen. And I was seeing today there's been interest from the Houston Texans. There's
the
been
Saints.
Word for, oh, I didn't see. Oh, well,
Saints
that would be obvious.
Been, and the Raiders.
Raiders and New York Jets was one of the first ones a couple of weeks back. He ain't going to be back. And if you're Malcolm Butler, would you even want to be back at this point?
I'm telling you, man, I was in that locker room after the Super Bowl. And I know he ended up talking to Mike Reese. But when people went up to him and he didn't talk right away in the locker room, he gave the deuces. He was like, that's it. And it wasn't just like, I'm not talking after this game. It felt like... I'm out. Like, I'm done with this team.
That was also right after the game, though. I mean, a month later, he might think it over and say, well, do I want to go to the Jets? I mean, do I want to go make more money and go play in that team right now? I mean,
if you came into the league as an undrafted free agent and you're an older guy and you haven't really gotten paid yet, the answer is yes.
Probably, yeah.
And you already have, you have rings? Yeah, give me my money. Like, that's the way a lot of these players think, like, relative to... I hear what you're saying, Christian. It makes sense from the fan standpoint, but for these guys, it's like, I want to get paid because my career's not going to be that long, and now's my time to get paid. And, oh, wait, you're not going to pay me, but they'll pay me? That's cool. I've already won. Now I want to pad my bank account.
I'm no different than other people that fall in love with big names, especially when they can still contribute. This is why I wanted Aqib Talib or Richard Sherman, but they've missed out on both, have the Patriots, as Talib is now a member of the Rams, Sherman side with the Niners. What about... Ndamukong Suh, who is expected to be released by the Miami Dolphins. Go ahead, Steve.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. I know this probably doesn't fit what they do, but the only reason I bring it up is Bo Pelini and Belichick are pretty close. He's relied on Bo Pelini for both ins and outs. and for Derek Rivers. And I just didn't know, Chris or Big Jim, if you thought maybe Belichick's making some calls to Pelini right now to find out what Ndamukong Suh is really like and if that would be a fit.
I love the talent, but boy, is he an a-hole. That's a guy that I stopped defending a while back. You know, he was dominant.
And what's he ever won?
I know. He was dominant on the defensive line of the Detroit Lions, especially in 2014 before he ended up with the Miami Dolphins. But he was a bum with the Dolphins. I don't think his head is in the game. I think he just wanted that money, and he has checked out. And now that they've made this move for Danny Shelton, I feel like it would kind of be redundant. I don't think the Patriots
I'm not. I want more of an edge guy.
Yeah.
You know, Sue's an inside guy, and the Patriots would know because at times in his career when he's played them, they've completely neutralized that guy. I'm not interested. He's
also
a name.
Jeff Darlington, who tweeted this out and sort of got the ball rolling on Sue getting cut, said that this is all part of a Miami attempt to change the culture in that locker room. Like, the Dolphins are trying to change their culture at the expense of maybe their most talented D lineman. So, I mean, that tells you a lot right there, I think.
Yeah, that's a guy. So I loved him, even coming out of college. He would throw offensive alignment around like pillows. Like, he was just a beast.
He made a legitimate Heisman run in Nebraska.
But it's frustrating because sometimes you just want the player to be what you know, just can you be a professional? And I don't care if you're an a-hole every once in a while, but all the time, like, that's a guy, like I said, I stopped defending a long time ago. Froggy and Lowell with a thought on Kyrie Irving and his knee injury. Go ahead.
Hey, what's going on, fellas? I have to sort of agree. Like, I think taking this time, since we already are going to be, we're already in the playoffs, letting the stars, which seem to be everybody but Tatum, the starters, get their rest. As much as I want to see him against OKC when I go to that game, I think the playoffs are more important right now to get everybody rested and get the bench acclimated for the playoff series. You know what I mean? And two things. One, do you think it was kind of weird just seeing a rookie out there by himself doing what he was doing last night against the Pacers, and they almost won, like, without all his starters with him? It was just, I felt good about that game, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
And
go ahead. What was your other point?
No, the other thing is, this is kind of like a joke, I guess, but do you think we could call the Cavs and get that other pick we gave them to get Kyrie, since Kyrie's knee is an issue?
I don't think that there's any.
I mean, they could call.
There's no. Yeah, you can call. I don't think they'd pick up. I don't think there's any backsies on that deal at that
point. But
though,
to the, you know, you were criticizing Brian Windhorst. One of the things in that deal is that LeBron was nonplussed when the Cavaliers didn't extract more from the Celtics for IT when the hip injury arose. Like, he was really upset about that. That was one of the things in that story you talked about earlier.
Yeah, and on last night's game, I mean, Brad Stevens afterwards was talking about, you know, how he was, I don't want to put words in his mouth, not impressed, but I think he was happy with the fight that you had after all those, you know, Horford's out with illness, Kyrie pulls himself for the game, you're obviously without Jaylen Brown, and they almost win the thing after that kind of weird call on Marcus Morris at the end there, like, puts him at the, you know, he didn't get to go to the line, it was balling on the side, but still, they had a shot to win that game where really at the end it felt like they had no business. So, you know, look, with as shorthanded as they were, it was a nice game. It would have been nice if they ended up winning the damn thing, but for right now, overall, my biggest takeaway with the Celtics, with all these injuries, don't push for the one seed in the East. That's the least of important things with this team right now. It's about getting everybody healthy for the playoffs.
No, I totally agree. I mean, you look at who's coming up on the schedule. I mean, obviously you have the Wizards, then it's at Orlando, at New Orleans, and then you get that OKC game. So when I talk about sitting Kyrie out for four games, you know, those are the four games that I'm talking about. And I don't see a problem with him sitting out any of those four games.
Are there some subtle shots in the final episode of Tom versus Time, which dropped today on Facebook Watch? We'll play some of those clips coming up next here on Felger and Mazz with Gaspar Murray in for the guys here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mazz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I like anti-competitive and Mazz. Stupid. They're so stupid.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
These last 2 years have been very challenging for him in so many ways. And I think he just want, you know, he tells me, I love it so much and I just want to go to work and feel appreciated and have fun.
So, this final episode of Tom V Time, which hit Facebook Watch earlier today, I thought it was, it was very telling. I think there's some not-so-subtle shots or clues to the Patriots about how Tom Brady wants the offseason handled. But that particular quote right there from Giselle.
Super G?
From Super G. Is that what she thinks, or is that what Tom thinks? In fact, Jimmy, could you play that one more time? But now everything has come crashing down after Super Bowl 52.
These last 2 years have been very challenging for him in so many ways.
Yeah.
And I think he just want, you know, he tells me, I love it so much, and I just want to go to work and feel appreciated and have fun.
I just want to feel appreciated, and I just want to have fun.
Same.
Huh. Don't we all?
Yeah.
I love that picture, by the way. It looks like she's waiting for him to retire in that picture.
Right. There's a perfect photo behind us on the simulcast. NBC Sports Boston. It's just Tom Brady. You know, it looks like the back of a football card. And Giselle looking longingly like, he told me he would be done at 40. And he keeps BSing me. But I hear that quote. And Chris, you brought it up in the email chain this morning. That's Tom saying that. Like,
oh, it's genius by Brady and his people, because it's not coming out of his mouth. Complete deniability for him, but it's coming from Mrs. TB12. And where do you think she's getting it from?
Well, from him.
Like, what do you think the conversations are in that? Hey, honey, how was work? Ah, Belichick's riding my butt again.
Yeah.
You know, you get Garoppolo. I know he wants to replace me. I can't get that contract extension. They won't give me. Where's the loyalty? Where's the loyalty, Giselle? I don't understand what's going on down there. Brilliant by Brady.
So you think some of these things that you hear in this final episode have to do about the contract? He wants an extension. You know, I guess, you know, this is why you're the smart one.
That's not.
When I watched it, I just thought a lot of this had to do with there's still this. It still ain't right behind the scenes, especially between he and Belichick.
Well, the contract's part of that. I think you're right. Like, you're looking at the big picture thing. It's all tied together. But ultimately, if you boil it all down, what you're saying is what is being expressed in this final episode of this thing, is that there's still some issues there that have to be sorted out so that he can feel appreciated and have fun.
And we also have this. I thought this was the money quote, and I kind of chopped that Giselle part was actually in the middle of this, so I cut that out. But in the last couple of minutes, here's Tom, you know, being introspective and looking back at the season, but also sounding like, and Jimmy Stewart, to take your words, you thought that after watching this thing at the end, he was just going to say, and I quit. Like, and I'm done. But
and the Patriots are porked, Big P.
And here's Tom Brady at the end of episode 6 of Tom Vitar.
This offseason is going to be about my family.
Okay.
And they deserve it.
Wait, what?
There's more to think about than just me. And I think that's what you commit to when you have a family. And they commit a lot to me. You know, that obviously goes both ways. It's a big commitment. I'm sitting here laying here 3 days after the year getting my Achilles worked on my thumb. And you go, what are we doing this for?
What?
You know, what are we doing this for? Who are we doing this for? Why are we doing this?
Huh?
You got to have answers to those questions. And they have to be with a lot of conviction. You know, when you lose your conviction, then you probably should be doing something else.
And scene. And I quit, everyone. No, wait a minute. Now,
that's all, folks.
I'm retired.
Yeah, from what I understand about following my favorite athlete that I've ever had the pleasure of rooting for, he's so maniacal that it's always about winning. What are we doing this for? More titles. What are we doing? I thought we had the answer of what we're doing this for before Super Bowl 49 against the Seattle Seahawks.
It's our time.
Right.
It started 7-8 months ago.
Yeah.
Right? All for this moment. All for this moment. It's about honor.
Right.
It's about respect.
Uh-huh.
We win this game, you're honored. Your kids are honored. Your families are honored.
Legacies, more titles, more rings, more. Yes, more. That's what I thought Tom was about. In fact, going back now a decade plus when he does that 60 Minutes interview with Steve Croft, what's been your favorite title? The next one. Oh. It moves when I even think about that. Tom, what's been your favorite title so far? The next one. Oh, insatiable lust for winning. And now, at the end of Tom V. Time?
Oh, what am I doing this for? I don't know. I
guess why is he talking like David Price?
Yeah. I don't know. What?
No. What's he doing this for? What? So what is this, Christian and Chris? Has he been whittled down to a nub by his wife, who wants him to stop, or is it just because the atmosphere in the workplace isn't as optimal as it was, say, 3 years ago?
I think it's the atmosphere in the workplace is not as optimal as it was before, and if you sort of, you know, if, look, at the end, this whole thing for me, I think, when I look at Tom versus Time, it was about him humanizing himself. And when you look at it, it seems like a guy who's being squeezed on both ends. When he's at home, there's a lot of pressure, a lot of stress. There's a feeling that, you know, we thought this would be done by now. We'd like to have you around more. And then when he's at work, there's this feeling, at least in his mind, of maybe not being fully appreciated and his contributions to the Patriots dynasty not being fully appreciated. And that's not a fun place to be for anybody. I don't care who you are and what you've won. If you feel like you're getting squeezed on both ends, then you're not going to be in a great place. And you're going to start asking some of those questions he's asking at the end of the Tom versus Time final episode.
You know what this sort of got me thinking about was the last time Giselle spoke for Tom Brady. And it's when she mentioned that he's had all these concussions. You remember that?
Yeah, yeah.
And everyone was like, well, wait a minute. How many concussions did he have? And then there was this whole thing. Well, did the Patriots, you know, cover up concussions and stuff? But that's sort of what I look at. More than the pressure right now to get out of the game now and spend more time with the kids now, it seems more like there's pressure to not be a scrambled brain old guy who can't get up and down the stairs and can't play with the kids later on in life. And maybe that's more of what this is about.
I think he's trying to keep the wolves at bay when it comes to his wife, who wants him clearly to stop playing the stupid game. And then, look, he doesn't like the workplace environment, but the underappreciated part, I kind of understand. So what, you want the coach to bow to you? Do you want him to gush a little bit more? Like, you know how he acts. You know you're just a cog to him, which makes, you know, look, bigger picture is insane because he's the greatest quarterback of all time. And hey, Bill, you know, Tom knows. Without him in that last Super Bowl and how the defense played, they lose by 50.
Oh, absolutely.
So he knows that. So, but still, you know that Bill's like an old curmudgeon. The ownership has done everything in their power to make you larger than life. Sure. Hell, literally, they did that when you were coming back, when they put him on the tower with their
Oh, that's right.
Tom,
I remember that. The all-hail Tom Brady thing. Yeah.
Yeah, on the lighthouse.
Yep.
But you know it's not going to change with Bill, so why keep trying? You know, to me, that part, like, you're not going to win that battle, so continue to focus on yourself and your teammates and
but let's boil it down, though. How about if it's, you know, fun and appreciate? What if being appreciated is not just the contract, but it's like, can you just let me do my thing? Can you just let my guy, Alex Guerrero, like, do his thing? Can you stop riding me about? Can you stop making me feel bad about being Tom Brady and about having my own brand that's separate from the team and having TB12 and hawking pajamas and mattresses and doing what any other athlete in my position would do? Because you have this idea, Bill, that we're like the military and it's all about, you know, the greater a group, and it's not about the individual, that nobody can have any individuality. And it takes me back to the Super Bowl and talking to Rodney Harrison and asking him about playing for the Patriots and saying, hey, did you have to subjugate your personnel? And he said, absolutely. Well, maybe 18 years of doing that gets a little tiresome. And maybe if you're Brady, you feel like you've earned the right and earned the leeway to go out and express yourself a little bit, to do a Tom versus Time documentary, to have a post-playing plan that involves promoting your fitness in health beliefs without getting a lot of flack from it. Like, remember when they asked Bill about, you know, the TB12 book, and he basically slapped the thing aside?
You know it drives him nuts. I just, you know, more than anything else, my biggest takeaway in watching this last episode today, nothing's changed between those two, and it's still, it ain't great behind the scenes, and they still got a lot of work to do. And in fact, there's some not-so-subtle hints about Rob Gronkowski and also Danny Amendola in this latest episode. We'll play some of that sound coming up here, but I do want to run through some of these calls, including Alan in Florida, who's been hanging a bit. Appreciate that. Alan has a baseball question for Gasper. Hello.
Yeah. Chris, you know, you said something, by the way, I don't think that shirt, nothing to say, but I don't think it's a Mr. Sid shirt. Anyway.
Okay.
You said something a few weeks ago, which I totally disagree with you.
Yeah.
You were saying how if this was... You're talking about tanking, and you were saying how in MLB, no one calls it tanking. You know why?
Why?
Because it isn't tanking. You know, a team like Miami, which is a disgrace, the Marlins, it's a disgrace, but, you know, they're not telling players to go out there, you know, and strike out. I mean...
Well, in the NBA, do they tell them to go out and miss shots? I don't think they say go out there and miss shots. No.
They put the NBA, which, by the way, if you go to Vegas, they call it the Tank City. They don't do that, but they just sit them on the bench. I mean, you heard what Mark Cuban did. I mean, sure. This league is a disgrace. It's really a disgrace. You got half the team tanking, and everyone knows it. And I just would not compare it to Major League Baseball. I think they're two different things.
It's one thing to have a guy sitting on a bench. It's another thing to be the Miami Marlins and have a fire sale and start giving your team away. The Houston Astros had a situation where they lost 100 games 3 years in a row, and it was to get the draft picks that got them guys like Carlos Correa. The bottom line is that the NBA gets stigmatized for doing it, and it happens in other sports. Fine, you want to stigmatize the NBA, you can do that, but stigmatize it when it happens in Major League Baseball as well, when teams are bad because they're trying to get high draft picks to get good. which is part of the process of winning. So why is it only one league gets stigmatized for doing it?
Did they keep Jose Altuve on the bench? No, they didn't do that. Did their own
answer the phone?
Wanted to lose intentionally. I mean, the NBA. No, did they have a referee that was fixing games? I mean, it's a completely different situation.
Well, what is fixing games? Well, now we're talking about something totally different. Like, fixing games has nothing to do with it. The Houston Astros dealt off big parts like Hunter Pence during the season. They were bad. They got high picks. It paid off. They won a World Series. The Cubs built teams where they traded away veteran parts. What Miami is doing to me is as disgraceful a tank job as any team in sports. I don't understand why I can't call that out. And my only point is that if you want to call the NBA teams out for tanking, for trying to get a draft pick, to try and get a franchise player that can change the fortune of their team, then when it happens in another sport like Major League Baseball, or when you have a team like the Indianapolis Colts a couple of years ago, it certainly looked to me like with Peyton Manning hurt, they tanked for Andrew Luck. Then let's just call it what it is. Why are we going to point out one league that does it and tank shame one league? I completely disagree.
I let them go. Tank shaming. I like that. Pittsburgh Pirates, that's another team that comes to mind, too. They've had a fire sale this offseason. We'll take pennies on the dollar for Andrew McCutchen and Garrett Cole. Like, they, you know, it happens in
it
baseball.
Happens.
It's okay to say. Christian Arkin, going to get you caught up in the latest. More bad injury news for the Celtics today. If you haven't heard that, he's going to tell you about that. We'll come back. We'll play some of that sound from Tom versus Time, them talking to Gronk. I think there's some not-so-subtle hints in there that Tom Brady wants Gronk back. Same with Danny Amendola. We'll play that sound for you right after this here. Felger and Maz, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz. You're listening to Felger and Maz.
Doesn't always have to be ha ha hee hee.
Oh, love it.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
I remember at a dinner with you, with Giselle, with your wife, and she came up to me and said, Michael, you need to talk to my husband. I'm like, for what?
I know.
Because when I met him, he said he wanted to play 10 more years.
I know.
Goes, I've been with him for 5 years, and he still said he wants to play 10 more years.
I know.
That was a long time ago.
Yeah.
You still say you want to play 5 more years.
Yeah. I wasn't a great math student back then, so I tried to tell her, she's right. I did say that because, you know, when we met, I was, 29, 30 years old. Mm-hmm. And I thought, man, if I could get to 40, it'd be amazing. And it'd be a great career in 18 years in the NFL and learned a lot. And it's been such a great love for me. I love the sport. I love the competition. I love my teammates. I love working with people that I love to work with. And so that part's really hard to give up, especially when I feel like I could do it. And I look around the league and I see these other quarterbacks and I'm thinking, man, I could do what they do. And I want to continue to do it as best I can because it's really brings a lot of joy to my life.
You know, if you've watched this thing and they popped it up on on Twitter and social media everywhere today, it's about 5-6 minutes long. It's mostly a puff piece, but you were just saying as we were playing it back, Chris, there is part of me that I'd like to think because I definitely think Tom Brady's feeling the squeeze from his wife. Like Giselle wants him to stop, and you know he's not good at math, and you say just about anything to get in them pants initially, but then the time comes now years later. And she's sitting there tapping her foot, arms crossed. The time is up. You're supposed to be done at 40. And he's like, oh, God, I just still want to play. During that interview, I'd like to think that Brady, you know, was probably making the, no, not that. No, let's not talk about that.
Yeah,
He 100% was.
Yeah. The whole time he's like, Michael, I thought we talked about this. You're not supposed to tell that story on the air. What are you doing? You gap-tooth fool. Yeah. Why are you telling this story? This is not going to help me. Do you think part of the Tom versus Time thing, like there's a lot of stuff with the family and there's a lot of Giselle being able to talk about how the career affects her and to what you just said, the idea of, he told me, do you think Tom put that stuff in there on purpose so that
it's also a subtle message to her too, like I ain't going anywhere?
No, I think it's basically to be like, I hear you. I hear you.
Oh.
And I respect you and your opinion. It matters to me.
Oh, that's pretty smart. Yeah. Maybe. Do you think she would?
That's what I would do.
She would heed that message.
Well, I don't know, but I mean, he can say that, it's a good point, and that's why we put it in the documentary, and it's just the whole thing. It seems like he's just sort of acknowledging her point and acknowledging her. Yeah, I always say this. This is true in sports and in life. Actions always speak louder than words. So I can tell you yes. I totally agree. And then if I do the opposite, then I didn't really agree with you. So he can put all this stuff in there. And it makes it seem like he's actually listening to what she's saying, and then he just goes back in place.
Yeah, but that action, she wants him to walk because I'm sure she thinks this is just a game. And what else is there to prove? I think he's lost the ability to say to her, well, I still love it. I still have things to prove. And she can come back and say, everyone already calls you the greatest quarterback of all time. Like, what else is there to prove?
But there was one in an earlier episode where I think she nailed the essence of Tom. And she said, I've never seen anybody love something as much as he loves playing football.
Oh, that's going to drive her nuts. What about the family, the children? Shouldn't you love them more than the game, Tom?
But I think she understands that's. So to your point about, well, there's nothing left to prove, I don't think it's about proving anything, you know, other than that the TB12 method works, which is kind of big.
Yeah.
But I think it's about the idea that he just loves this so much, and this is what he enjoys, and, here's the bottom line, Giselle. Do you want to take your husband's joy away or not?
So maybe they all do, Chris. So maybe there's the not so subtle. I'm kidding. So maybe
you
there's
just, you just got us both killed. Maybe there's the
not so subtle, message to his wife. I hear you. But there was also, I think, a not so subtle message with the phone call made to Rob Gronkowski as they head into Super Bowl 52, and what Gronk says about Danny Amendola in this latest episode of Tom vs. Time.
Patriots continue to rewrite history.
Is Gronk going to be okay for the next game?
He should be.
Okay.
He's fine. Hey, how you doing, babe? How you doing?
I'm answering animals. Nice job.
No, you're a animal. Just so you know that.
How you feeling, honey?
I'm feeling way better. I just actually laid down for an hour and a half.
That was a miracle of us winning without you out there, just so you know. That was a miracle.
Unbelievable. Dude, how does Danny get so good in the playoffs? It's just
unbelievable. That was unreal.
So that's obviously after the AFC Championship win over the Jacksonville Jaguars. Rob Gronkowski concussed in that game early. We don't win it without you. You're an effing animal. And, you know, it's... Or we were lucky to win it without you.
It was a miracle. He said miracle.
Miracle. We won that without you. You think that is in this latest episode just by happenstance? I don't.
No. He got all the plugs in.
He wants his binky back, and rightfully so. Brady wants Gronk back, and he's probably sitting here over these last few weeks where they've had time to tinker with this thing since they lost the Super Bowl. You know what? Let's edit it because I need Gronk back. And also Danny Amendola, who's a free agent, too, who's getting some interest, according to reports, from around the league. I need them both back. They're security blankets for me. So let's put this part in Tom versus Time episode 6.
I totally agree. And I think you actually had a theory on how the whole thing went down, didn't you?
Yeah. You know, seeing as they've had time to tinker with this, like that was probably just a quick phone call. How are you feeling? Concussed, been laying down. All right, we won the game. See you in a couple of weeks at the Super Bowl. They went back into post-production and edited it. They called up Gronk, did Tom Brady and Gotham Chopra, and said, okay, we need you to say this about the other guy we need back. Okay. Gronk looks at the script.
Boy, How about that Danny Amendola, huh? He's so good in the playoffs. Crazy how that always happens. Right, Tom? We need Danny. Hint, hint.
Great. And that's all we needed from you, Gronk. Like, it does... Look, that phone call was... It happened when it happened, so I'm just obviously being silly here, but... That's in there for a reason.
Oh, totally.
Like, both of these guys got to be back.
And, Gotham Chopra, excellent filmmaker. I have to say, I like a lot of what he did visually with it. But, man, the thing about Giselle talking about, wanting to have fun and being appreciated and that phone call were just jammed right into the middle of that thing. Right. Like, no segue, like, just boom. Like, here, it's like Tom being like, look, here are two things that absolutely have to be in this. This and this. Good luck.
You're an animal. You're an animal. It's a miracle we want it without you. Yep. Yep,
it sure was. I am so tough, and I should be getting the same money as Antonio Brown. I should be getting that kind of money.
And boy, Danny was good too, right?
I don't know how we do it without Danny. He's so important.
What do you got to say about Nate? Oh, yeah,
we need Nate too. Nate Solder at left tackle. Hint, hint.
Yeah, and that's all these things that they should be addressing this offseason. I'm surprised they didn't crowbar something about Dion Lewis in there, too. Catherine Nashua on this final episode of Tom vs. Time that dropped today. Hey.
Hi, guys. Love you. I listen to you on Saturday, too.
Oh, thanks.
I just keep thinking, and today after hearing this, I'm thinking about it even more. I can't imagine. I think everybody's not looking at the fact that Tom could have been really affected by the Super Bowl loss, being that it was lost. Maybe, obviously to a lot of people, Malcolm Butler wasn't in the defense for no one could figure out why he wasn't in there. He wasn't put in, even at halftime when the defense was completely getting run over. Don't you think he's got to be resentful and pissed and be like, why did Bill do that? Was he trying to submarine me? Was he trying to screw me? Like, I think, why did could Bill have possibly done that? And maybe Brady and Giselle were thinking that this was their last one.
Look, if I'm Tom Brady, I haven't liked how anything has been handled since the Super Bowl, really since the second half of the Super Bowl. You have to imagine that he too was questioning why Malcolm Butler never got into that game. I mean, it's because of him that they ended up winning Super Bowl 49. He got that fifth ring. He knows that he's the better option at cornerback, and I don't think they're ever going to get an answer. Look, he liked that Instagram post by Malcolm Butler almost immediately. That was for a reason, right? Like any of these guys, I'm sure that they're all pissed about it because they felt like they probably robbed of a Super Bowl where they just needed one stop.
Also, did you notice at the end, before he started in about the thing about I got to decide if I want to keep playing for your family and all that stuff, he had this sort of interesting quote where he was like, I did everything I could. I played my best game. I tried my hardest. I left it all out there on the field. And we still kind of came up short. As in, he was talking about like parenting, I think, and how, you know, you tell that to your kids.
Oh, the lesson for
you do
his
the
kids.
Best
yeah,
thing. It's your lessons. Upset. But he also said, I did my part. I, you know, I lived up to this. I did everything I could. Who didn't? You know, who did not do everything they could to help this team win the game?
What do you think of this? So Mike Giardi, NBC Sports Boston, just tweeted this. Guess who's interested in Malcolm Butler? Matt Patricia's Detroit Lions. Quite interested, from what I'm told.
Believe it.
But isn't that kind of...
I wonder if he'd play him in the Super Bowl if the Lions ever made it.
I find that surprising because to me, and this is something that, you know, this is a Felgerism that I agree with completely, that like Matt Patricia to me has been, at least with his time here, was such the consummate Belichick Bobo. Like his, you know, everything that Bill did, he was never going to question.
Yeah, yeah.
But if he ends up signing Malcolm Butler, like, it kind of contradicts how you handled Super Bowl 52. In Sydney.
It's a great point. Well, that would be one of the first questions, right, to Patricia? I mean, Patricia was asked about it at the combine.
Oh, I want it to happen just for that. I want it to happen just for the questions.
Yeah, so you didn't think the guy was good enough to play for you in the Super Bowl with a ring on the line, but now you think he's good enough to fork over, hypothetically, $48 million. What changed, Matt? Let me just grab this pencil from behind my ear. You know what? Dude, I don't have a pencil behind my ear. I'll be right back. Like what are you going to do? Like, what's he supposed to say?
Oh, that would be such a contradiction for how they handle that game and if they end up signing him. So you believe in him, but you didn't believe in him in the biggest game of the year.
New England media members are booking plane tickets to Detroit like right now for that press conference.
I need that to happen.
It's a leak just to get Malcolm more money.
Maybe.
But even that, Jimmy, let's say Patricia's doing that. He's just trying to do a solid for Malcolm. Wouldn't that sort of be a tacit admission of, look, we know that we screwed you in the Super Bowl and we did something we shouldn't have done. So I'm going to try and help you out here. I'm going to put it out here that the Lions, we're interested in you too. And now this is a bidding war with five or six teams.
Yeah, I don't know. Look,
it could be Patricia's way of saying, I had nothing to do with this decision. This was all Bill. It was all Bill.
Why not speak up in the Super Bowl? Jeff, in the car, go ahead. You're next here on Felger and Mass. Hello.
How you guys doing? Just wanted to, you know, just talk about the power dynamic between Belichick and Brady. You know, it's been a big issue this season. So, you know, I don't think it's any accident that Gronkowski's at the TB12 facility and it's being reported. I think that's another play by Brady to say, listen, you need to, here's my program. This is what's keeping Gronkowski here. This is what's keeping Gronkowski in football. So I really think that's no accident either, why that's being kind of played out in the media right now.
So, yeah, so there was the report earlier today that Gronk, for whatever it's worth, and who had this, Christian? Who had the thing that Gronk was working on?
Rappaport.
Ian Rappaport, yeah. NFL Network.
And Mark Daniels from the Projo had something similar, I think, actually, like, weeks before.
No, but at this point, considering, you know, that Belichick wants nothing to do with anything Alex Guerrero, does it, I don't know, do you equate that just because Gronk is there that it means that he's going to be back with the team? I don't.
Not necessarily, but think about this. You know, who are the two guys on the roster that are sort of outside of Bill's control?
Well, Gronk and Tom.
Gronk and Tom. And those two guys are buddy-buddy, obviously, through the team, through Guerrero and all that stuff. And they're the two guys who have been associated with media productions, whether it's a docuseries or it's an article that Tom Kern wrote, saying that they're not having as much fun. I just think that's interesting.
Yeah.
You know, here are these two guys. In other words, do you think that those two guys sort of being completely outside Bill's control, that he maybe rides them a little harder, or he tries to let them know that, I get it, Gronk. We have to put out a statement every time you get hurt, even though I don't want to do that. But I just want you to understand who's the boss. And the same with Brady.
Sure.
Yeah, you know, you can go to the owner and get a contract extension. You don't have to deal with me. But around here, these decisions, I'm still the boss.
And I still think that this Gronk thing is fluid in that it could even further expedite Belichick's departure from this team. you have to think, with how he's always run this team, and everyone's a cog, even the most important players, yeah, like Brady and Gronk.
The coggiest of cogs, as you like to say.
That with what's going on with Gronk, if he wants more money when he's still under contract, you would have to think, in the past, Belichick, he would still deal with this with, like, whatever, I'll just draft a tight end, I'll move on.
Yeah, like Deion Branch.
But you know how important Gronk is to this team, obviously to the offense and Brady, and even from a marketing standpoint, that I tend to believe that the Crafts are going to, you know, they're going to capitulate and they're going to give Gronk what he wants here, and rightfully so. And if that happens, and they essentially go over Belichick's head again, do you think he's going to want to swallow that pill after what he's had to deal with Brady these last couple of years? I still think there's a possibility that's why he could still walk before the season starts,
yeah,
if they end up giving Gronk, you know, money that's close to Julio Jones or Antonio Brown.
Well, now that's a situation where you have ownership making football decisions, and that is the bright red line that Bill doesn't want to have crossed.
I need Malcolm Butler in a Detroit Lions uniform, and I need that now. Like, I want that just for the questions that I'm sure will never get answered from Matt Patricia. But boy, after how they handled the Super Bowl and not putting him in, and no checks and balances for Belichick, so he's not good enough to play in the most important game against a bum like Nick Foles who tears you up. He can't play in the second half of that game for one effing play, and you're going to sign him to your team now that you're a new head coach? Oh, God, I need it. I need that so bad. Just like the final word is how we're going to wrap up the show next year. Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Blend force trauma running right down their throat.
Felger.
I'm a hypocrite.
Mass.
Who cares?
Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Final word brought to you by Town Fair Tires. For the guaranteed lowest prices on tires, go to Town Fair Tire, because nobody beats Town Fair Tires. Nobody.
Nobody.
All right.
Nobody.
The theme of the day were the callers. Got a couple of callers today with some big ideas on what to do with Bill Belichick. Let's take a listen here.
James in California, how do you feel about missing out on Richard Sherman?
Oh, yeah, I think Belichick should be fired. I think it's a joke that he didn't get to lead Bennett or Sherman. And they're going to go into next season with Johnson Batamosi and Jordan Richards and all these other bums. And I honestly think they'll be lucky to go 10-6 next year. I just want to know what you think about that.
Well, that's awfully negative.
Yeah. Tom in Quincy, you're next up here on the show. Hey.
So, Larry, I don't know why you guys keep talking about this coach. I'm all discombobulated now.
That's all right. Take a breath.
I think he's a terrible coach, Belichick. I really do.
What?
I don't know why they get him. Now, listen, just hear me out.
Go ahead.
The first three Super Bowls, they barely won. The first Super Bowl, they were underdogs. Then the next two, Super Bowls, Rodney Harrison won one, and he won the third one. The kicker won the first two, and then you go to the Giants. The Giants should have beat them 30-0, and they were the favorites if it wasn't for Tom Brady, the greatest quarterback in history. Then you go to Seattle. It was Malcolm Butler that won that game.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.